We are the G-O-D's. I'm just playing, just playing. That's my favorite joint, though. Shout out to the homie Zemo, who I'm bringing in for this episode 131 of Where My Killer Tape At. And we are going to revisit Ghostface Killah's debut album, Iron Man. It's the 25th anniversary. It was on October 29th. Currently, it's October 31st. We're going to release this right now. So check it out. Killer Tape At, B.
I told him back, and once again, I bring you the mighty, mighty Zemo. I can no longer say the kid. I got to say Zemo, divine power.
Word up, grown man now. Coach of Cypher, son.
You know what I'm saying? And real quick, thank you for staying on my neck about the Ghostface Killah 25th anniversary release of his, I don't want to say his debut album, but his solo album,
right.
Iron Man, because you kept reminding me, and I was like, I got to do this. So word thank up. You for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So October 29th would be the 25th anniversary. So as of this recording, it's, you know, it happened 2 days ago. So and 25 years flew.
Yeah, man.
Flew by. And also, I want to say that I forgot how fucking dope this album is. Like, I knew it was dope. It was dope. But it was like... I'm driving everybody crazy playing it.
It's a banger.
I usually don't listen to hip hop while I'm at work. You know, mm-hmm. I'm in a classroom.
With the kids. Yeah.
But I'm like, this is getting played. It was just like, you know, man, you listen to that? And I'm like, yeah, man. Like yeah. So.
No doubt.
It brings back your know, my children love Wu-Tang too. So it's like, we had a great.
Word.
Since the context is 1996, you know, the year before they had the last album they released, we're talking about how, you know, someday to just I was my favorite, man, is my favorite, mm-hmm. Depending on when you catch me and how I feel. But this was like the sixth album.
Under the Wu-Tang flag from the main
group. We're not talking about like the affiliates and like
the original nine. Figures.
Yeah, because there was affiliates, you know, Sons of Man,
right?
You know,
Killer Army,
you know, and they,
yeah, Killer Priest, yeah, man.
And Figures too. So they were all this stuff was being released. So there was, and let me just say this: I was thinking about
who came out at that time, like what other
artists.
I don't want to say groups that came out, but the only other, like, you know, big label, they weren't a group, was Death Row, but they weren't putting out this much product, you know, like, you know, everybody in the was.
No, I feel you there. Yeah.
You know,
because the only ones probably to match them was Death Row, but it wasn't as, it was frequent, but not as frequent, you know.
It wasn't as frequent like that. B-sides, remixes, you know.
Right.
They were, you know, they were features. Tracks like I remember people putting out mixed Wu stuff.
Never heard before. It was a B-side.
It was a remix. It was a posse cut.
Oh yeah! It was just... Yo, shout out to DJ B. Yo, he used to do a lot of those back in the day. The Wu-Tang, the Wu Bangers. There you go.
Yeah, Wu-Bangers. Exactly, and there was just so much product, and at that time it was unprecedented. That somebody was putting out this much product from a particular group of artists. Even Death Row, with the budget that they had, wasn't really putting out as much product as the Wu.
What, if I can add on, what made the Wu-Tang situation more unique than Death Row Death Row was all one label, but with Wu-Tang, they were spread out across the industry. You know, you had Method Man on Def Jam, Dirty on Elektra, you know, Ray was still on Loud, Genius was on Geffen, and Ghost was the first artist on RZA's imprint, the Razor Sharp, distributed through Epic. And Epic, is as we know, isn't known for rap music. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Wu-Tang was definitely doing it very, very differently than anybody else in the industry or in hip hop period.
President,
there's even looking at this album, what was originally released on the album later, like if you get the later.
Oh yeah, you're missing a song. Yeah, you're missing a song. Yeah.
You're missing a song or they changed the name, stuff like that. But it's just because of all the stuff that was going on, I want to put it into context, like, you know, and I don't know if you've been watching the show.
I have.
Because in this season, they're really focusing on the middle part of the season. They're focusing on the business side, like what happened with their contracts and everything, right, and what they were looking for. And I think that part is crucial, you know, what happened creatively once they released the first album and why they were able to do all the stuff they were able to do and just put out a large amount of product.
Right. Yeah. Shout out to RZA.
There you go. Shout out to the Abbott, definitely.
Yeah, man. He had the vision.
And it's funny because I remember I was watching the clip from Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, on People's Party?
People's Party. And I watched it. I didn't know that they pulled out halfway through that tour. There was a Wu-Tang Rage Against the Machine tour.
Yeah.
And I remember they pulled out. But I remember it was like halfway through. And Tom Morello talked about, you know, they just wasn't ready for it. Like all of them wasn't ready for it, for that kind of success.
Right.
And on a short amount of time,
it happened quick, man.
It happened very, very quick. So, and it was just like, cause I know me and my son are talking about, you know, what happened, like at a certain point creatively, they did things differently. And I was like, they were probably burnt out. They were probably
absolutely
burnt out from all the time he spent in the studio
working, touring. It's a lot of work,
working
back then too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it wasn't like a matter of like sending files. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
you're right. It was, you had to be in the studio. You had to show up.
Yeah, man.
On what song? Right. That person just wasn't in the studio that day. And I remember like you got being locked up after the first album was released.
Right. You know, he just wasn't around.
So it was just a lot of things that happened that I thought, you know, given the context, it was a different time. We didn't have the internet.
Right.
So honestly, like we talked about this before, how like you would go to the record shop and then it would say, you know, next Tuesday, these albums are being released. And you're like, oh shit. You know?
So you show up next Tuesday.
You show up next Tuesday. Yeah. And sometimes they were right. Sometimes they were
right,
wrong.
Right.
But we didn't have like internet where they was like, oh, this is gonna be released on this date and this is coming up. And if they were interviewed, that interview didn't come out till 2 to 3 months later.
Right. So, yeah, absolutely. Even record reviews themselves. Like
yes.
if you didn't get your album in to that press, that former press or media, especially magazines back then early. Your record didn't get reviewed.
Yeah, it didn't get reviewed. You're right. You're right. You're right about that.
For real.
Yep. So it was a different time. And I like that the TV show gets into that, right? Like the TV show gets into how things were done at the time. But yeah, that's just the context. And I wanted to give the audience some context.
1996, everybody.
Where were you when you purchased the album?
I was in the 10th grade.
Okay.
I was in the 10th grade, and shout out to my man Melvin. It's like, yo, he is already grown and graduated, so he was my guy. Like, yo, I'd always come home, and I had the tape or CD ready, because he'd always go to the store, and he'd make the run for everybody. I'm pretty sure, like, they knew him at the store. Like, he was copping, like, 3, 4, 5 copies of the same joint. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
Like, but I remember specifically this day, though. I was supposed to go play ball after school. You know, that's what we did. Yo, it was either b-boying or playing basketball after school.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, nah, yo, I'm going home. I'm going home to listen to this Ghostface Killah album. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Like, it was that much of a priority. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to listen to it front to back. There was already a lot of songs on the album that I had heard, but like, no, I want the experience now. I want from track one to track however many is on here. I want the full meal. You know what I'm saying? I know what macaroni tastes like. I know what mashed potatoes tastes like. I want you, but yo, I want all the sides and the main. I want everything on my plate right now.
And I'm glad you said that. You said something that I thought, like, you know, one of the problems with mixtapes back then, the issue that a lot of labels had was they released a lot of material that was on albums.
Right. Yeah.
And it affected a lot of albums, album sales. It affected what was put out. A lot of stuff was leaked. And yep. Again, going back to what I was saying with the mixtapes, some people had unreleased tracks. You didn't know what album they were going to show up on.
Right.
You were just like, oh, you know, the Wu's on here. You know, like the Wu's on here. They're like, okay, cool. And that happened with this album as well. There was some stuff that was released early.
Some of it was soundtrack stuff.
Yeah.
And then this a lot of it was mixtape stuff. Cause I'm sitting here thinking off the top of my head between soundtracks, mixtapes, and college radio was big back then. Shout out to everybody at Hampton University, 88.1. I wish I could remember who was spinning back then, but we used to stay blessed back then
Seiko had a show.
Okay.
He had a show called Underground Preservation Society.
Boom.
I never heard it live. I only heard like his mix. You know, he had recorded some of it.
Mm.
And he was playing a lot of underground stuff, a lot of Wu-Tang. Like, he was playing all that stuff back then. I'm not saying he was the only one.
I'm pretty sure that's who I was listening to. Because if it wasn't Law and B, you know, with like Live from the Hood, I'm positive I heard on 88.1. And there's a lot of songs off of this album that I heard prior to its release. You know what I mean? It was either there, mixtapes, or the soundtrack. So all in all, it might have been like maybe five or six songs that I already heard off this album before I actually got to sit and listen to it.
Same here. Say it was probably you know, four to five, maybe six. Yeah. It may have been a remix.
Right.
Still didn't
spoil it. I'm gonna keep funky.
Not at all. I'm not gonna lie, like I wasn't checking for Ghost until the purple tape, you know?
Same here.
And I was just like, oh shit, he's killing it. So when they was like, oh, releasing his joint next, I was like, because my assumption was Inspector Deck was going to go next.
Yeah. Exactly. I think we said this when we were talking about Genius.
Yeah.
We were all ready for Inspector Deck.
Inspector Deck, yep. So, boom.
Plus, I was like, yo, he don't need a solo album. He just did the joint with Ray. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I was saying. Like, he's all over that. It's practically his album, too.
True indeed. I got checked on that because we were talking about what's his name? Oh my god, I can't believe I forgot his name. When he finally released an album, Jay-Z was all over it.
Oh, Jay Electronica,
and I was like, that my issue was that Jay-Z is on eight of the ten tracks, so I don't think it's a debut album. And right. They were like, "But did you say the same thing about Iron Man?"
That's not the same thing though, man. Because they crew.
That's what I said.
They're crew,
I said,
man.
They woo so that it was expected that.
Yeah.
And I said, that was just his solo effort. And the idea was everybody brings their crew. That was the idea.
Right.
So that I feel like we can't really compare that. Like, we really can't compare that. So, plus he gave us Supreme Clientele and that shit was fucking dope, but neither here nor there.
that's another episode.
Yeah, it's another episode. So like, yeah. So, but yeah, we're going to go ahead and jump into it.
Boom.
They start off. This is a departure from the original other Wu stuff, which usually had like Kung Fu. Right. Kung Fu movies. They start off with the Education of Sonny Carson. Okay. A very good movie.
Right.
A stands the test of time. I know I showed it to my students about 5 years ago. And they were impressed. They were like, and I forgot how violent it was. I was like, man, this thing is really violent. Like,
yeah. Believe it or not, I've never watched it front to back. I've only seen like clips, you know what I mean? So
it's worth a watch. I think that if you like Warriors,
word,
you'll really like this because this gets into the prison industrial complex, and, you know, the assault on black men and all. Like, it really gets into that. Like, it really gets into that stuff. So, I was like, oh, that's different. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But then it makes sense because they get it to Iron Maiden. And that shit is fucking just as soon as it comes in, it's just like, man, this shit goes fucking hard. Like,
yeah, it's a quick adrenaline rush.
Yes. Yes. I thought I was just like, yo, I was just like, you know what? And it made me this album made me think of that scene. And if you haven't seen it, Fuck it, we spoiling it. So spoiler alert. In season two, when they show them go on stage after Fever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's kind of like they did their song, and then they did Meth's song, and then they did...
Can It Be.
Can It Be. And I was just like, man, I don't know how that would play on stage back then. But then I see how the album was set up, because then they get into Wildflower, which is an extreme departure from Iron Maiden.
Right.
Where he's trading off with a young woman. And they're talking about, you know, he's talking about how, you know, just I always took it as a hardcore sex song.
Like, I mean, I'll admit before that, I had never, besides like the stuff that you'd expect to be nasty, you know, like was just mainly Two Live Crew and Too Short, stuff like that. I never really heard anybody like so aggressive. And so, it sounded like, you got to realize what Ghost is, what, 20, 25, 26 around this time.
Mm-hmm.
So like, imagine how you feel like when you like late teens, early 20s, and maybe something doesn't go right in a relationship. You know what I mean? You're really scarred and you're real jaded. You know what I mean? Like, and a lot, how about this? Thank God Ghost had the outlet to do that song. Versus maybe the stuff that he was thinking about that he spoke about on the song. You know what I'm saying? Because some guys don't have an outlet, and some guys don't grow and graduate, and they stay fuckboys for the rest of their lives. They're like 40, 50 years old, and they're still out here on the same shit that they were in their late teens and early 20s. But, you know, so up until that point, you realize I'm a teenager. I'm in 10th grade.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, man, my thought is like, I don't want anything. I don't want to meet any girls like that. you know what I'm saying? Like, and I hope this doesn't happen to me.
And I guess this is why it's called Wildflower. I just, for me, it threw me off.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm Iron Maiden. I'm like, oh, shit, they're gonna get in. And then it's just like, whoa, wait, hold on. I mean, it's a dope song. I just felt like maybe the placement should have been different, you know? Because I was just like, oh, shit, Iron Maiden. Like, I was like, then boom, Wildflower. Because then they go into Faster Blade.
Which is just a solo Raekwon joint.
A Raekwon joint, but it could have came off of Iron Maiden.
Facts. And Faster Blade's one of those moments I love. This is what I love about Wu-Tang being Wu-Tang. And this is how you know it was really all about, you know, the whole group versus just the sum of its parts.
Yeah,
you know, and they knew who needed to go on what, and they knew who needed to go where. And Ghost was just like, nah, this is you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not sure if that's what he said, but you know what I mean? Like, it's to the point where it was not a big deal for Raekwon to just spit a verse and that be the song on the Ghostface Killah album. You know what I mean? To me, that's love. Because what other genre of music does that happen? You know what I mean?
You're right. And going back to the TV show, there's a scene where they're recording Can It Be So Simple, and they kind of explain why those two made it on that song, right? Because they were playing the beat, and it's like, yo, whoever wants it, go. And it was just like, boom, they hit it. Then, you know, then Ghost hit it, and it was like, yo, we're putting both of these shits on here.
Right.
And you're just like, wow, like, that kind of, you're right, I could see them, I could, even before the TV show, I imagine, like, here's the beat, and then Raekwon spit, and they was like, you know what, we got to put this shit on.
Yeah,
like, I got to go in here.
I about to say, I imagine the beat playing, both of them sitting there, Raekwon being like, yo, I'm done. He goes in, and then Ghost is like, I don't need to be on this. This is it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just guessing. You know what I'm saying?
No, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. It's perfect. It's like a perfect joint. It's short, straight to the point, and you're like, okay, that is the Faster Blade. All right, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, let's get to the next one. You know what I mean?
Exactly. It was just like, wow, like, okay. Then the next one is 260. And again, like, not trying to hate, I just, you know, Iron Maiden, Faster Blade, and then 260, and I'm like, oh, wow, like, they're fucking going in. Like, there's no fast-forward material. They're going in, like, consistently.
And this is when they introduced... They were introducing clips from the movie Usual Suspects. Is it in front of this one? No, it's not this one. It's the song afterwards.
Yeah, it's the song. Is it the song afterwards? Where he was like, we can't find the drugs. We can't find the drugs.
Yeah, it's the song after this one. This
Assassination Day?
This one has, hey, boy, the nigga whole style is chump. After I get mine first, you can do what you want to do. And then it goes into the Al Green loop, which is crazy.
Like, yeah. Oh, my God.
I forget what Al Green song it is, man. I'm but it's literally it's such a short portion of the song, but RZA, the way he brings it back, is crazy. And then you know, the storytelling between Ray and Ghost going back and forth,
oh my god,
it's just so vivid. Kick down the door in the spot, 260, 2L. I heard they had O's for sale. I heard the same shit. Money driver, burgundy whip. And the cool thing about their storytelling, I think I said this when we reviewed Purple Tape, is that you don't always get the ending.
Nah. At least to your imagination. Yeah.
I think you know, like good filmmakers do that sometimes too. You know, where, you know, the movie, granted, you know, the ending scene is the ending scene, but, you know, you're kind of just left to think, well, what did happen to these characters afterwards? Or what was the ending? And when it, in a music form, all it does is make you want to listen to the song again.
And, you know what I'm saying? But what I like about 260 is that, to me, it felt like a conversation between two homies about something.
Right.
Right. And a lot of times when we're talking, I might be talking about a particular topic and I'll bring up an anecdote. I might not finish the anecdote,
right?
But we kind of get it, and then you go into another topic, and it'll kind of like go back and forth like that. And that's kind of like,
except with the opening line. See, I heard the same shit: money driver, burgundy whip. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's how we talk.
Exactly. And I want to say that I think Raekwon and Ghost, like, what set them apart from really everybody back then was they, you know, they, like all rappers, they made references to pop culture, right?
Right.
But they also made references to, you know, God body vernacular, like what, you know, what they were saying.
Right.
So they had Supreme Mathematics in there. They had the Lost Found Lessons in there. Then they had the street talk. Like they talked like what the cats on the street were talking.
Right.
And they was able to mesh that all together. Because I know like a lot of people would tell me, I like what they're saying, but I don't understand what they're saying.
Oh yeah, you know? Man. You ever Google some of the lyrics?
Yeah,
and if it's somebody that don't know they mathematics, bro.
Yeah. I'm like,
this is way off. This is way this is way off, buddy. But nice try. Nice try.
Like, yeah, like, yep. Yeah, and also the street vernacular. I'm like, you got that wrong, you know.
Right. Yeah, it's funny Googling Wu-Tang lyrics. I'm serious, because cats be way off.
It'd be way off, yep. Especially back then.
Right. But to me, that's the beauty of it. Because, you know, if anything, Wu-Tang as a whole, it kind of, I can't say it forced you, but if you wanted to really be in the know of what they were about, you had to grow up. You had to grow up and you had to grow with them.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I agree.
Or get left behind. And unfortunately, as we see in the latter parts of their career, like a lot of people just got left behind. You know what I mean? But at this particular moment, I was like, yo, I want to know everything that these guys know. You know what I'm saying? Like everything that they know and then some. So, yeah, man. Yeah, 260, great storytelling, man. Yeah. Like great message of this. Like you said, everything in regards to the stuff that they put in their lexicon.
And then we go into Assassination Day, right? And this one has the RZA, Inspector Deck, Master Killer.
Raekwon.
And it's a typical, like, this is a typical Wu cut. In my opinion, this is probably the only, like when I first heard this album, I was like, did RZA produce this, you know, this album? Because it sounds different than, stylistically, it sounds different than the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Assassination Day. I was like, oh yeah, this is definitely the RZA. Like, he definitely produced this right here.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Like,
and it was just, go ahead.
I was going to say, this is the one they started using clips from The Usual Suspects,
mm-hmm.
which was, and I thought this was kind of new because they do it later on too with another film. This album came out in 96 and The Usual Suspects the film was only like a year old.
Yeah.
And, you know, movie clips, you know, and stuff like that was still kind of like a new thing within hip hop.
It was. And back then, you know, like today we have bootleg. We got bootleg movies. Like, you could get... Because back then, it took, like, a year to change for the movie to come out.
Right.
Yeah. After the movie came out, it took a year and a half for it to be on, you know, whether you bought it on VHS or Laserdisc. Yes. Like, it took a while, you know. But Cats in the Hood, we got it early. Oh,
exactly. You
know. It may not have been a good copy.
But. But either way, that's what I thought was so cool. I was like, yo, doesn't the movie just come out? Like,
you
know, with the old Kung Fu joints, like, yeah, those things are like about at least a decade, maybe two decades old at this time. You know what I mean? But yeah, I thought that was pretty dope that they threw that little clip in there. And
Usual Suspects, it stands the test of time. For those of you that haven't seen it, has a stellar cast. You know,
absolutely. Also, this is another joint minus Ghostface.
Yes,
and it's just like you're like, where is he? But I'm not saying that he's missed, but it's just like, you know what? It's still cool without him. And this is another example of, like you said, like, yo, it's all about the crew. Yeah. It was all about representing Wu-Tang, and I think when they stuck to that, that's when they were their best. Like no matter whose album or whatever it was, man. Like, you know, this is another spot where Master Killer really showed up.
Yeah,
because you got to realize up to this point we'd only heard him a handful of times.
Yep.
You know, he's arrived. Yeah, he's if you didn't know he was originally part of the original group, yeah, you know now.
Now you know exactly.
Yeah, for real.
And then we go into Poisonous Darts, where he kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
He Ghostface does, you know, he kind of like, yo, this is my assassination day. You know.
Boom. I'm about to say, yo, you hit the nail on the head with that one right there.
Yep.
And this samples The Mystery of Chess Boxing, the actual Ghostface killer. Because he uses the five elements technique. He's like, let's see you try the water technique. And this was a joint that I had heard before, because it was on a DJ Clue tape, and it was just called the water technique at that time. But yeah, man, Ghost goes in, man. Like, it's just darts, man. Just two verses and like in and out.
In and out. Oh my God, just in and out. Then this one, Boxing Hand.
Oh, you skipped one. You skipped one.
No, because Winter Wars wasn't on this originally. It was on the
Winter Wars was on the original joint.
No, it was not. It was on Winter Wars was on it got added on later. Originally, Winter Wars was on the soundtrack for
Don't Be a Menace.
Don't Be a Menace.
It's on my first pressing. I mean, I still got the original CD from like the day it came out.
Oh, okay, all right, because I had got the vinyl, and I had got the tape. But I could be wrong. I'm going completely by memory.
I was about to say Wu-Tang was known to do some stuff like that. Yeah. They weren't the only ones either. Because sometimes, believe it or not, I know Nas did it a few times. Where like if you bought the cassette tape, you got the bonus song.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you might be right with whatever it is that you purchased. If it might not have been on your vinyl, because Winter Wars was the next track after the Poisonous Darts, because it blends right into it with the way Ghost ends his verse. 100 niggas coming with swords, something like that.
Winter Wars was where they introduced Capadonna.
Oh yeah, like officially. Like, granted, yeah, like he was on purple tape, but like this one was just like, yo, this is our man, and he's with us.
They gave him like 29 bars. I was like, yo, still rapping, like he's still
bro. 29 like might be half of it, bro.
I was like still rapping, like,
because you gotta realize shit. There were three verses before this. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like you guys set it off. Ghost came in, Master Killer again.
Yep,
but Cap just stole the show. I was like, yo, it was very rare in rap, you know what I mean, to let somebody just go off for that long with their verse, you know, let alone let it not be your song. You know what I'm saying? Like, if anybody's gonna go off for that long, it should be you if it's your song.
It's
you know
your
what
song.
I mean?
Yeah. So it was like,
But classic Capadonna bars right here, man.
He went in.
Like, and he's one of the members of the group that I always think does better when he's with everybody else. You know what I mean? That's just for my two cents.
Let me be honest with you, man. I get a lot of flack for this. Mm. I don't consider him an original member.
I mean. Yeah,
you know, like when I do the trivia or whatever, I don't put his name in there.
He is the sometimes why.
He wasn't. I think he's. You know, he's his situation. He got locked up.
Right.
He was supposed to be on, but he didn't get on. But you know, but Purple Tape was the first time we seen him. You know what I mean? And I thought he was just an affiliate that just happened to get on.
Same here, because I was like, right. I remember reading it. Who's Cappuccino? Like, what? Yeah. I don't know who the fuck this is. I mean, this is back then when you buy the tape and you open it up and you read who's on what. And yeah, I mean, but like, yeah, it's like, I don't know who the fuck is a Cappuccino. Like, you know, but yo, he showed you who he was for sure. But
he went in.
But for my taste, I think he's always best when he's standing next to, you know, especially in this case, of course, Rain and Ghost. You know, that's just me. His solo stuff is, I guess, you know, a particular flavor and an acquired taste. But, you know, I think, you know, like I said, put him on Winter Wars, put him on Ice Cream, put him on, you know, a matter of fact, there's another joint up here that we're about to get into. But, yeah, those joints, Cap does his best.
And, I agree.
Yeah, for sure.
Because then we have Box in Hand with Method Man.
Yeah.
And Raekwon. And I'm going to say this about Meth, and I'll probably catch flack for it.
I feel the same way.
I feel like he does his best when he's with everybody.
Oh, no. I will totally agree with you there. I will 100% agree with you there. His best bars are always when he's with the group.
Mm-hmm.
Like 100%. You'll always get the best Method Man performances. And this is something he said in the Showtime documentary. He was just like, yo, I still write rhymes to impress these guys here.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And I was just like... And I was like, you know what? I know what that feels like. Because, like, you know, back then, you know, when I was rolling with the crew, like with Johan and all them, that's what I did, too. I was just like, yo, I'm going to out-rap everybody that's here in this circle. Or even the people that weren't in my circle. Like, you know, the people that I just knew, whether it had been, like, members of the Gypsies or even, like, Juniper Salit back in the day. Like mm-hmm. I always consider them competition and inspiration. You know what I'm saying? So indeed. I'm writing to make sure, like, yo, when they hear this, they like, yo, no, like, yo, Zemo? Oh, yeah. You need to hear him. You know what I mean? So I figured, because my thing is, like, if I got the respect of my peers, you know what I'm saying? There's no way that anybody else is going to deny me. You know what I mean? And y'all were older, too. So I thought, like, yo, if my older peers give me the cosign, there's no way that anybody else is going to be able to tell me shit.
And y'all was a dope team, man. I'm not gonna lie, y'all was a dope team. Y'all was a really, like, when y'all was all coming together, I really looked forward to it.
Man, I appreciate that.
I was like, y'all was really, like, y'all really had y'all stage performance down pat, which is not an easy thing to do.
Bruh.
Y'all had, because I've seen a lot of artists that I like their stuff. And I seen them perform on stage, and I was like, "Oh, bro, they got to work on that." But when y'all would come through, it was just like, "Oh shit, it's a treat! It's a fucking treat!" You know what I mean?
That's all Johan, because he had the experience. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was a treat. For real. But I'm sorry to off topic.
Right.
So then we're gonna go into Fish, where Capadonna shows up again.
Yeah, man.
And again, like you're right. Like when he's with the squad, especially with Raekwon and Ghost.
Now check this one. You must have been stupid to miss this, son. It's like he just always knows how to start it and come in and just kind of just swing with it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And this beat was so. This is True Master on production.
Yes, this is the only one that the RZA didn't do.
Yeah, after this, it was just like, okay, so who's this guy?
Yep.
Should we be listening for more of his beats? And then, you know, come to find out, like, yeah, he didn't wind up producing a whole lot more other stuff for the Clan. But this was a pretty good introduction, if I say so myself, because I was like, I never...
Same here.
The beat's slow, bro. It's very slow.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they did their thing on this one, though, man. Like, painting that gangster picture, as it were.
Yeah. Yes.
That street shit. I'm just like, yo, yeah. The best at it. The best at it.
Yep. And then this was a single, which when I remember when it was released as a single and they had a video, I was like, oh, wait a second. It was dope. It's dope, though. It was dope, though.
You can't lose with Teddy Pendergrass, bro.
You cannot.
Like, I remember hearing this on 103 Jams. I think it was like one of the, was it on Live from the Hood or was it, it might've been like, you know, like the little Rocket to Stop It type of joint. Like, like playing like the new joint. Yeah. Like, yo, I remember, like, just my mind being blown. I was like, yo, this is so dope. Like, Ice Cream was dope to me, but I was like, yo, this is better. I remember Cassie used to, like, say that was blast. Like, nah. I'm like, nah, son, this is better.
and I think with Ice Cream, like, it was very catchy. Like, it was a very catchy joint. The whole branding of it was very catchy and the hook.
Right.
But Cat Mean, like, I love that it was slower. And then that sample, just that fucking, oh, it's just another fool. Huh? Like, yeah, that's like. Oh my God, that sample. Like, I could just listen to that track over and over, even without the lyrics. And I was like, damn, he put again, like, the RZA did his thing. And it was a departure from what he usually did,
right?
You know how we do. That's that.
What's the deal, Goldilocks? Ain't nothing. I'm just hibernating. Love that watch. Pull me some scotch or Coca Vassia. no doubt, have a cheer, but let's get the poly in. Like yeah. to me, Ice Cream was like, it's hot outside and you just hollering at girls.
True indeed.
KMA is like, I'm talking to my woman. You know what I'm saying? Like for real. It was a more mature approach. You know what I mean? Yeah, because I'm in 10th grade, like recognizing this.
And I think it was a ghost-faced approach. Like that's what he would do. That's how he would do it. Like Ice Cream, even though it was a Raekwon, it really felt like a Wu-Tang
song. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So and then one of my favorite Wu tracks is Daytona 500. That's probably one of my every time I hear this shit, I get happy. People like, you're bugging. You're bugging, bro. You need to relax. Like,
you can't lose with the Bob James sample.
That Nautilus. Hands down, I believe this is the best use of that sample. Because a lot of people sample Nautilus.
Right, exactly. But it's been used quite a few times.
Right?
And RZA turned it up.
Oh, my God.
And put the right drums behind it.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, like, that was, like this will always be one in my top five Wu-Tang joints. I fucking love this song. And I was kind of mad that they made the video with Speed Racer.
Speed Racer?
I was fucking pissed. I was like, yo, ready? You know, like,
you wanted to see them, but at the time, that was a unique approach, bro.
It was very unique.
Because I think of, like, I don't know if you follow Milo the Cat on Instagram or on YouTube. This is the guy he puts all the
the cartoons.
Like boom. There it is.
That shit is funny. Xavier says it to me all the time. That shit is.
Yeah, and this joint right here, I remember originally hearing on it was another DJ Clue tape. I think it was Summertime Shootout.
Yeah, I heard it on the mixtape first.
Yeah, it was summer 96, because I remember it had a lot of Nas, it was written on there, and a lot of Jay-Z, Reasonable Doubt on there, and a bunch of other freestyles. And in the mix of all that was Daytona 500. And I was like, to me, these are some of my favorite Ghostface, Raekwon, Capadonna bars like ever. I think this might be like one of Raekwon's illest verses ever, just because of the way it flows.
The way it flows, yeah. Like, and then shout out to the Force MDs because they killed that shit.
The intro.
I always like when I win like a game or something, I always sing the intro and shit.
We are the G-O-D's.
Yeah, and we came to rock the spot. Like, oh, that's my shit, yo.
Yeah, man.
I love that shit. So,
yeah.
And I'm a big fan of the Force MDs.
Word.
You know, big fan of them. And then we go into Motherless Child, which was
on the soundtrack for Sunset Park.
Sunset Park. Yeah. But
it's still good though, man.
Oh,
like,
my God. And it's just like, storytelling. Just the
Like
I felt like I was there. Like, I felt like I witnessed the robbery. Like, I was just like, oh shit. Like,
right, yeah. You feel like you're there.
Yeah. Yep.
You feel like it is. As Ghostface is like, you know, line for line, man. Like, it's all visual. Like, Raekwon sets it up and it's kind of like an alley-oop. You know what I mean? He just tosses it up and like, yo, Ghost just does the rest. I know a rich kid who got hit for three bricks. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Then that part where he's like, you know, remember me, the kid from the U.S.? I was just like,
you put up, don't move, don't even flinch.
I could like picture the other guy's
face
feeling when he, you know, I was just like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh. And I like that in the beginning.
He realized that shit's about to get real.
In the beginning, like, they was like, he should have shot that dude. And you're just like, okay, let's move on with the story. And then it all comes back. And I was like, wow. And I was just like, well, I didn't see that coming. Like, I didn't just, because they do that a lot. They talk about something, they make a particular reference, and then they move on, like we talked about earlier. And they move on. And you'd be like, okay, that's a detail from before. But this one, it came back. And I was just like, wow. Like, you know, and you know, the way it comes in, the song, you know, the sample, I'm thinking it's going to be, another All That I Got Is You.
Right? Or like Can It Be or something like that.
Yeah, like I'm thinking when I see Motherless Child, that's what I think about, right?
Right.
And they actually used a sample.
Sample, right.
You know, so you're just like, oh, but then it comes in, you're like, oh, I didn't see this coming. Like, you really got me with that. Like,
somebody without their mother ain't raised right, B, and they out here just sticking up kids.
Yep, you're right, you're right.
For real. And that's just how they was feeling on this joint. Like, they perfect. Had a King Tut piece about the size of Little Maurice. Yeah. Like, come on, son. to me, lines like that are cool. Like, I always thought, like, Ray and Ghost were good with using different ways to describe what they see. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah, granted, he's describing jewelry or he's describing a watch, but it's not like, you know, the same old that that other catch is saying. You know?
And it's funny because, like, I know that, like, you know, as you get older, you exaggerate and embellish shit. But they weren't embellishing. They were like this, you know, people did buy pieces that big. People did buy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, you know, people were like, what the fuck out of here? And I'm like, no, people actually bought stuff. Like,
yeah. Medallions the size of dinner plates. Yo.
Yeah, dinner, yeah. He's right. Yeah. He's right. Like, he's right. Like,
yeah, man.
Yeah. And then I think on this, on Black Jesus, I think this is you God's probably hardest verse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think this is his hardest, bro. I was like, oh, shit, you God? Okay.
Also,
you
know, like, yeah, also, before you start, I give a rest in peace to Freedom Allah, man, who's always dropping jewels on these albums, man.
And Papa Wu, we know him as Papa Wu.
Yeah, for sure.
I wanted to mention that earlier, because he's on this, he's all over this album.
Yeah.
And I think this would be a good dedication to him. And there is a documentary on him.
Oh, word.
Damn, what's that brother's name? He does it's the same dude that does he interviews all the gods and earths from around the country. Like, he'll go to different parts of the country and he'll interview. Oh, wow. And his Melchizedek interviews are fucking amazing. Melchizedek is actually in that Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X documentary.
Oh, the one we was watching that day? In the basement? All right, bet.
Yeah, because Melchizedek, he went to school with Father Allah. He trained under Malcolm with Father Allah.
Okay.
He was there when Father Allah was like, yo, I'm leaving and I'm going to do XYZ.
Do my own thing. Yeah,
yeah, no, so he was there for that. And he, you know, he knew Malcolm. He knew all them people. Once again, the brother that does, I want to say is IN Media.
I want to say I follow his page, yo. Sounds familiar.
Yeah, so he does a lot, but they did a documentary on him, because he enlightened a lot of people. Like,
no, look, without ever meeting me, myself included, you know what I'm saying?
Indeed, a lot of us,
for real. And this joint right here, I always thought, the sample, bro, is from you remember the movie Cornbread, Earl and Me?
Yeah,
it's the part where Cornbread gets popped. And he drops his soda and his hands up in the air and it's like, oh, it was in slow motion and everything. The acting is terrible.
Yeah,
I mean, the movie is what it is. It's actually, believe it or not, it's the subject matter is actually some shit. Pretty sure it's some shit that's probably still going on today in regards to, you know, police trying to intimidate the community. Mm-hmm. But I always thought that I was like, yo, RZA might have was just watching this one day. Was like, yo, I'm gonna sample that. Like, yo, that's so dope. And the way the drums come up under it. And like I said, this is, I think all three of their verses here are perfect. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Ray sets it off. Ghost does his thing. And you said, you God kills it at the end. I remember watching him perform this when they came to, what's it again, H.E. It was like summer 97. And they did this and they did the whole song. Now, for some reason, you God's energy was just different while he performed his verse, man. I was like, yo, this motherfucker killing it. It's like, I've heard this verse a gazillion times. This motherfucker killing it right now. Like, wow. To me, it's using him at his best. I mean, I know people always kind of like try to like say whatever about you God. But I think his voice, he's very much like the, if they were the Temptations, he's Melvin. He's that baritone, that bass.
He's that baritone, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you need that in your group. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? If you want, the totality of the voices and the harmonies to sound complete at times, you know what I mean? And this record is a perfect example of that, you know.
And I think his incarceration, I think that really set him back.
Yeah.
So he missed a lot.
Because everybody else is in the studio performing and doing all this other shit. You know, he's just sitting down.
Everybody was working on their stuff and, you know, doing, you know, making moves, and he just, that really like stunted his growth, I think. You know,
yeah, for sure. But he shined on this one for sure.
And I think a lot of the flack he gets is undeserved, because his circumstances, you know.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like a professional athlete. When people shit on professional athletes, I'm just like, yo, B, you realize everything they had to do to make it here, right?
Yeah.
Not everybody makes it to the professional level. So not to say that he should just be happy to be here, but yo, salute him for making it there.
He'll make it. I agree.
No, you know what I'm saying?
I agree. Motherfuckers love doing that. That sofa quarterbacking, man. I'm like, yo, chill with that shit.
Yo, you guys part of the Wu-Tang Clan Original Nine. Are you?
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Exactly.
Like,
yeah. Come
on. Like, so somebody respects him.
Yeah,
respects his, and somebody and his ability. So yeah, you should shut the fuck up with all that nonsense.
Clearly.
Yeah.
And then this is the one where you know the RZA always said he wanted to work with the Delphonics.
Yeah, this
and
was cool.
After the smoke is cleared, I love his joint. Like
I love the Delphonics, bro.
Yeah. Oh my god. Like perfect use of them. You know, perfect use of them. And I thought it was dope that they bought them. They bought them into this, you know. Yeah.
Versus just sampling, yeah.
Sampling, yeah. I thought that was so like, oh my god, that is so dope.
And like you said, this is so Ghostface because you know, you read interviews or see interviews with Ghostface, he'll tell you like I'm an R&B soul type of dude.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like so, the approach for you know making the beats or even just constructing the songs for this album definitely, I'm pretty sure, is different than anybody up to this point. As far as, but especially from where they last left off, which was Liquid Swords, like come on man, like the strategy and the approach is completely different. You know, this is one of my favorite Raekwon verses too, like you know, Roman numeral IV plus three describe me, like you know, like shit like that, like but like just little lines like that always stuck with me. I'm just like, yo, you know what he just said, son?
Yep.
he just said he's God. Like you know what I'm saying? Like why not think of that? Like you know what I mean? Like to me, like bars like that are the things that set them apart from everybody else rapping at the time. No matter how good your favorite MC was at the time, they weren't saying shit like this
You're right.
At all.
And then this song, I remember this is the first hip hop song that made me cry.
Yeah, man.
All That I Got Is You. Like this is the one that really was like, and I remember when I first heard it, I was like, oh shit. So a lot of times I used to skip the song.
It'll bring it out of you, man.
Yeah, and then when I was listening it again, when I was re-listening to the album, it hit me again. I was like, fuck. You know, like, this shit still hits me, even though I know the lyrics and everything and what's going to happen. And, like, man, this shit is, you know, Ghostface, once again, he paints that picture. He was growing up in the projects, and
he used that pain to paint that picture.
Yeah.
So this was real personal. It was a little different than the other stuff, for sure. And you can't lose with a Jackson 5 sample either.
You cannot. Yep.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite songs. But that Maybe Tomorrow. That's one of my favorite Jackson 5 songs. And Mary came in and did her thing. Like I don't think people reference Mary enough when they talk about this record. I know Ghostface does this thing
because I think what happened was when they did the video, she wasn't in it.
Yeah, it was Takeitha.
Yeah. And I think that's what it's kind of like with the Roots and Jill Scott, like she originally sang on that,
right? But yeah, okay,
they got Erica,
you.
So like,
yeah.
So,
but yeah, this is definitely a classic piece of music, not just hip hop, mm-hmm. just music.
Agreed.
Just music, period, man. Because I think it opened the door for more brothers to do the same.
You know I agree.
Because you know now it's kind of, I'm not gonna say it's a cliche, but you know. It's not necessarily expected, but you know, it's not necessarily such a look down upon or not necessarily look down upon, but you know, a niche thing to do. You know, yeah, people want the artist that they listen to really like, you know, express something that's very personal, whether it's pain or love or whatever. But in Ghostface's situation, it was the pain and the struggle of everything that he went through growing up. You know what I mean? And you see a little bit of that in the show, like you know. The two brothers with muscular dystrophy killed me.
Like, yeah,
I'm just like
wow,
like, just yep. like yo, like yo, that was real.
Yeah,
like so he's growing up doing all this stuff, still taking care, you know, trying to take care of his family, dealing with the issues with his mom, living with all his family in the you know in an apartment, like
yep.
like bro, like
bro,
I remember hearing this, like yo, yeah, bro, I'm in the 10th grade, so like whatever it is I'm going through, I'm still going through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like a struggle like this, but like, you know, it's the time I'm in the 10th grade and I share a room with my sister who's like 6 years younger than me. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's just our reality. You know what I mean? I go hang out at my friend's house on the weekends because, you know, it's a two parent household and they got dinner. Yeah. you know what I'm saying? Like I'm trying to escape everything going on in my house, you know, and that's like where I find like people like Johan, because Johan has grown when I meet him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know everybody's story is different, but like, you know, to hear Ghostface share this, you know, share this with us on Wax, man, it's just it's still always special, no matter how many times I hear it, man. And I, because I always just go back to where I was at.
Oh, I agree. No,
to where I was at the time that I heard this, and to the time that, you know, what was, you know, everything that was going on with me. You know, it's like I just shared, like, you know, like, man, like it just reminds you, like, yo, you're not alone out there in this world, and you know, it's okay to, you know, express how you're feeling. You know,
no, I agree with everything you just said. Like, I feel you. It's that struggle, you know, that pain, and I think that's what really, you know, everybody loves this song. Like, everybody like loves this song. And you know, Mary J just threw her little sauce in there too, and it was just perfect.
Classic.
But I know for me, it was like the first hip hop song that just like, damn, son, like
got tears.
Me. Yeah, it tears. Got me, like, you know, there was, you know, R&B songs that did it for me. There was, you know, the Angus song that did it for me. But this is when I was just like, oh shit, this one got me. Like, to this day, it's something that like I don't listen to the whole thing. I stop at a certain point.
Yeah, the Glorious House with a Note. Can I borrow some food? I'm dead broke.
Like, man.
That's real, man.
Yeah.
Like,
man,
like, I kind of get welled up just thinking about it.
Like, and I look at like a lot of my students. Like, a lot of my students, you know, their first meal of the day is what they eat at school.
At school, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, damn, I think about them, and I think about, you know, like the fact that there are times I feel bad when they ask me for something to eat and I don't have anything. I'm like, damn, because I know they not gonna eat again. You know what I'm saying? So like, yeah, shit is real. So then the Soul Controller, also featuring the Force and D's.
Yeah.
Again, yeah. So, like, I love that they brought them in. Because, you know, I didn't realize that to that time that they was from Staten Island.
Me neither.
I didn't realize it. You know, as much as a fan as I was, I didn't know they was from Shaolin. I did not know them. Did I know that? And then, like, once Wu-Tang came out, I was like, yeah, we from Staten Island. I was like, oh, shit. Like, you know.
Yeah, this was cool, because this was one of those songs that got cut off.
Yeah,
on the later releases, later pressings. Like, even if you look now, I think on Apple Music probably for the little 25th anniversary release, this shit ain't on there.
This shit ain't on there. Yeah, my son, shout out to my son Zumbi, he pointed that out. He's like, yo, it's not on there, bro. And I was like, oh shit. He was like, why is it the 25th anniversary? They're not gonna have it on there. And I'm like, you right.
Yeah, I'm just right. Like, I guess all these years later, they still couldn't clear whatever the. I don't know if they couldn't. Maybe Sam Cooke's people had beef. You know what I'm saying?
Actually, for 25th anniversary. Edition, it was kind of disappointing.
It was only a remix of the All I Got Is You. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like the Nas 25th anniversary had like the remixes.
Yeah, all
you
them
know
joints.
What I'm saying? Like, you like, I got this joint. Oh shit, I haven't heard this shit in a while. Like, you know,
he could at least put the Box and Ham remix on there. I don't know if you remember that joint. Which was kill. I'm like, yo, bro, there's nothing on here.
And it's y'all shit. It's not like I didn't see him. It was like, it's y'all shit. Like, you know, so I don't know what happened with that, because, you know, when I'm thinking 25th anniversary, I'm thinking exclusive shit, you know.
But I love this song right here. I used to keep this joint on repeat constantly. Clear My Head, Stay Sober, the Soul Controller. And I always thought this was a cool ending to it, because if you had the tape, this was the end. You know what I'm saying? I always thought this was cool because he sampled two movies from this joint. He also sampled Carlito's Way.
I couldn't remember where that was from.
It was Carlito's Way.
Okay.
Pretty much right where he, you know, Benny Blanco from the Bronx. Pops up and, you know, remember me? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then he's got, you know, his little ending monologue as he's dying. I was like, yo, that's dope. But then it switches to the ending of Usual Suspects. Where it's, you know, Kevin Spacey's character, like, you know, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled, you know what I'm saying, it was convincing the world that he never exists. I was just like, yo, like, he's got all the movies.
He got all the joints. He's got
the Kung Fu, the Blaxploitation. He got the joints that came out last year. Like, because, yeah, really, Carlito's Way had just came out, too.
You know what I'm saying?
So, like I said, Wu-Tang definitely ahead of the game all the time. Like, clearly, like, you know, they're doing the definitive hip-hop thing, which is, you know, taking what you know and, you know, putting a new twist on it, you know, and I just love them for that, because they were always... excuse me, they were always in the know.
And I think, again, that's why there's always got to be context, because what was out at the time, right? And what were the cultural references that we were all, because we all saw Carlito's Way, we all saw Usual Suspects,
right?
And then we watched it over and over again,
right?
You know, we all watched The Killer, and we watched it over and over again. All those stuff that was coming out, we was passing those VHS tapes, you know, with each other, like, yo, you know, like, so, like, we were all watching it, so that's the context of that, like. You know, like, and, you know, so, like my children always ask me, yo, well, you know, what's this? And I'm like, oh, it's this movie we used to watch. It's really good. You know, we should watch it. And it's like all that stuff that was going on back then, like that all made it into the Wu-Tang albums, which to me, that's why I think a lot of the Wu-Tang stuff is like a time capsule.
Yeah, because if you grew up around that time, to me, I always say like, yo, me and my friends, like, we weren't trying to be Wu-Tang. You like looked at Wu-Tang and was just like, yeah, that's us.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, exactly. Like on the real, you look around all your, exactly. like they're this somebody that's clearly identifies with a member of the group. Like, yo, we got our Method Man, we got an Old Dirty Bastard, we got a RZA, we got a Genius. Like, yo, they, like, yeah. We got, like, for real.
And we was doing the knowledge. We were all doing the knowledge.
Right.
Like, we were all, that's one thing I would say, we were always doing the knowledge. Yo, did you read this? Did you do this?
Right.
You know, oh, I'm going to go watch this. You got this? Yo, let me borrow that VHS tape.
Son, exactly.
Like the whole cypher. Like, everybody was on something.
It was very each one teach one vibe back then. Yeah, it was like, nobody just held on to something that they had. It was just like, yo, I need to share this with my peoples. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, they need to know this.
So we were, I remember that time, you know, consistently building. Like, I remember it was a consistent thing. Mixed in with the hip hop, mixed in with, you know, what we was watching, mixed in with y'all's with Shorty last night. Like, it was all of that was the culture, what we was doing. So you right, like, Wu-Tang was a culmination of that. And I think a lot of us saw ourselves in that, you know, a lot of us, like, this member was somebody that I could relate to the most, you know.
Yeah, that was the beauty of hip hop at the time, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, not for nothing, like, you weren't embarrassed either. You weren't embarrassed. If anything, you were kind of happy that somebody that looked like you and that represented what you represented was out there doing their thing. You know, I'm 40 now. I'm not in my teens. I'm not in my early 20s. So I'm not really sure what the newer generation thinks about their representation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's for them to tell. And, you know, 10, 15 years down the line, if they're still with it, they're still with it. If not, then, you know.
I'm gonna tell you how they get down. And I think this is so fucking dope. I find this to be so dope. Like, you don't know how, like, how dope I find it. And I wish that we had that in our time, because I think if that was the case, then again, if that was the case, our life trajectories would have all been different.
Mm-hmm.
They really support local groups. So students are introducing me to cats from Dayhood, and it might be regional. It might be somebody regional. Like, yo, he's from Columbus, Ohio. He's not from Dayton, but he's from Columbus, Ohio. Or I know students that are from Indianapolis, and they'd be like, yo, he's from my hood. And I'm like, wow. And then they have a following, and they actually make money. They do shows, and they actually, like, have a crew. And I was just like, so I see that more so than in our time. No, people didn't support you locally.
No, I give you that. You're 100% correct on that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because, and I think that's why it's a gift and a curse.
Yeah.
Because now it's easier to blow, and you don't necessarily need that much skill, as it were, to do anything.
Right.
And it oversaturates the market to a certain sense.
There's most of them. I'm like, I'm good. But there's some that I'm like, yo, this cat right here is nice. But most of them, I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, when I talk to younger people that are working, it's funny, you know, because I'm saying younger people, I'm thinking, like, I'm talking about people that are like 24 or 25.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're new into adulthood, and I ask them, like, you know, what they're listening to. A lot of it's like some of the newer stuff, but believe it or not, man, like, they're really, like you said, that's always supporting local acts, but they're really, like, always looking for, like, that new. You know what I mean? I like that about them, because, like, I mean, that's why I follow them on Instagram and stuff. I'm like, yo, that song you posted the other day, like, yo, I went and listened to that joint. I joined hard. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because I might not get it from, like, you know, my constituents that are my age, or, you know what I'm saying, the older guys like yourself. Like, we just might not get it. It might not come our way. You know what
definitely.
I mean?
Oh, no, I agree 100%. It's a different channels. They get down differently. They find their music in a different ways. You know, we do a more traditional route, you know what I mean? But they really, like, you're right, they're always looking for that new stuff. And I'm the one catching up. And because I noticed that they don't listen to mainstream artists that much. They might if his song is a hit, you know. I'd be like, I like K-Dot. They'd be like, K-Dot? I'd be like, really? You know, and I'm just like, oh, you don't like them? And they're like, yeah, all right, well, we listen to this. And I'm like, oh, okay.
So, that's funny.
Yeah.
But back to Iron Man.
Back to Iron Man. So the last track that we're going to go over is Marvel featuring the RZA. I'm going to be honest with you. This was an album that, like, when I got to Soul Controller, I would go back to the beginning. Like, I would just go back to the beginning.
Like, if you had the tape, it was over.
Yeah. Yep. So I would go back to the beginning and play it again. So Marvel was something that somebody had to point out to me.
Yeah, I always thought this joint was cool, and but I really liked it for the ending, because the beat plays for about a minute or two. So yeah. me and my friends, we just freestyle. Because like just to say, yo, I'm rhyming on a RZA beat. Like, yeah. I mean, the verses are dope. It's Ghostface, it's RZA. Like, you can't, I mean, it's not whack. You know?
It's not whack at all, yeah.
But it did feel a little out of place in regards to the sequencing of the album. Because, like you said, Soul Controller just ended it so perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And just like, you know, this was the last joint we got until Wu-Tang Forever, I believe.
Yes. Yes, Wu-Tang Forever.
Yeah, for sure.
So just real quick, I just want to say, like, when it comes to just how this album was put together, this is like, if you're going to be an artist, a hip-hop artist, this is one joint you got to really listen to. Like, I really feel like if you're going to be an artist, these are one of the joints you got to listen to.
It's a good example of, you know, different subject matter in your records, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying, and doing it well. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people, like, you know, I'm going to be honest. Like, you know, I just listened to the new Ransom album, and it's banging, but it's all street shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like every song. Like, there's one song.
Whose album is it again? I'm sorry.
Ransom. Ransom, okay. Ransom and Rome Streets did a collaboration album. It's very Ghost and Ray esque.
Okay.
I mean, I'm gonna be honest. It's a Purple Tape level of excellence. If I do
okay.
say, if
I'll
I do
if, check for that.
If I do say so myself in regards to the lyricism, they're rhyming, but like everything is just all street shit, you know. Mm-hmm. Whereas this one, you know, like I said, from Motherless Child to Wildflower to Fish to Kame, like the topics aren't the same, bro. And it's a good example of how to touch on these topics lyrically and musically and put it all into one musical offering in regards to an album and do it right.
Perfect. That's perfect summarization.
Yeah, because a lot of cats try and it's just like you're forcing this.
You're forcing it, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it always turns out wrong. Where, you know, whereas, you know, they try to do the girl song and it's just like, nah, I don't believe you. I don't believe you getting girls like that, B. I'm sorry. I don't believe you. But like with this one, you got to realize, like, for instance, with Kame, we're coming off of Ice Cream. You know what I'm saying? It's just a more mature. It's the next level of it. You're kind of, you know, it's like, yeah, this sounds right. This feels right.
And you are a lot of hardcore MCs try to do that lovey-dovey shit. And it was just like,
bro. It comes off wrong. It comes off all wrong.
Yeah,
like,
yep.
No. Oh, you know, one thing we didn't talk about, the album cover itself.
Oh, yeah. Which, you know what? I'm surprised Marvel didn't do a hip-hop variant.
Are you sure there isn't one out for this?
I'm positive. Now, somebody made their own, right? With Tony Stark and Captain America and the Hulk. But there's one for the Purple Tape.
Yeah, with Hulk and...
The Hulk, yeah. Yep. I'm Dave Cho.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I have that one, but they don't have one for. And I had to go. I was like, "They gotta be. There isn't one."
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So I was really shocked. I was really, really shocked that they didn't, because I thought that would be like the first one.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, I always thought this cover was cool because it's like they in the warehouse. They got the shelves in the back with the Wallys, the different. Colors and the flavors. They got the bright, they look like Nautica or Tommy Hill jackets. You know what I'm saying? Probably one of the two, definitely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was just like, you know, he got the big, you know, fat gold Jesus piece. And yep. Kappa got the dinner plate on.
Yep. Yep.
I'm like.
And Raekwon in the back just chilling. Chilling. Yeah. It's like simple. It was dope. I was like, man.
Right. I mean, you'd expect more for an album cover for the album title with Iron Man, but like, nah, this was it. This is Wu-Tang.
You didn't know what you was gonna get. You didn't, like, I was like, this is a, you know, this album cover is different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was like, you're right. It does stand out. And I maybe that's why, but then again, they used the one for the Purple Tape. So I don't there was other albums that covers that they used that I was kind of like, why are you using this one? It's not really
right,
you know, it doesn't really stand out. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
but this Ghostface one though, man, I love it. It's so simple, it's yet so complex.
Yeah, my son drew a he did an ink piece on it. I got a poster.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
word.
He did it. It was really dope. I was just like, oh shit. You know, like this was a couple years ago. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, shout out to Wu-Tang for being ahead of the game with the whole Iron Man Ghostface with the whole Iron Man Tony Stark shit.
And that's my point. Because If you had told me then that they was going to do an Iron Man movie, I'd be like, get the fuck. I ain't nobody trying to go see Tony Stark. Like,
right.
So you would think that would shout him out.
And hold up, and back then told him that Robert Downey Jr. was going to play Tony Stark. You would have.
Oh, bro.
Come on, son.
Come on, what? Son. Like, what? Yeah, what? I get the fuck out of here.
Right. for real.
But, so they were honest. So you think that Marvel would like, you know, hook him up? You know what I'm saying? And,
he's in a deleted scene in the Iron Man movie.
Really?
Yeah. It's a deleted scene.
Okay.
Yeah. They show up to like some mansion and Ghostface is there.
Oh, okay.
It's a deleted scene. But you know, man, we need to get him like a prominent role or something. Like, yo, I'm not really sure that how much Marvel knows how much this probably impacted the boost and the notoriety of a Tony Stark or Iron Man. I'm not really sure they know. I don't think anybody there grasps the totality of that.
I think when they did the album stuff, and I'm not trying to hate on any of the artists. I could tell which artists went into those. Like, I know you listen to The Far Side. Like, I was like, I know he or she listens to The Far Side. But that was something that I was like, I know y'all not listening. You didn't listen to this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, again, yeah. I don't know how. I mean, I see how Jay-Z's Black album got put up, but it's not an album cover that you're just like, oh shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There was a lot of album covers that I was kind of like, how? You know, you know, it wasn't because they weren't like, you know. And then I saw, because I do have it, I did see the this Papa Lodge, big shout out to the East Coast, Kool Keith. I saw that Kool Keith, and I was like, you definitely listen to Kool Keith. Because you know, they pulled that Kool Keith joint. I was like, you definitely listen to Kool Keith.
Right.
But then, you know, there was some stuff that was up there that I was like, why isn't Iron Man? You know, so I'm going to say 80% of those artists, they know what they was doing. They just, you know, they just picked according to album sales. That's how I look at it. So,
wow. Yeah, because it's funny because I got the Black Elm variant, the Black Panther joint.
Yeah, I had that one too. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. 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 This was like I said, this was a prime. This was an easy layup right here.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like, oh, it makes perfect sense. So that's why when I was like, I was like, there's not one. I was like, I could have sworn there was one. And I was looking through my collection, like, yo, how come I don't have it? And then I went online, I was like, yo, they don't have one.
Yeah, I was only able to cop a few, man, because those things, like, yes, once they're on the shelf, man, you gotta realize most comic book store owners, they don't give a shit about fucking hip hop. So
This is what happened. And they do this a lot. Marvel does it a lot, and DC does it a lot. And it's fucked up because if you're a small comic book owner, store owner, you're kind of fucked. So what it is that when they do these variants, they say, we'll give you 10 of these variants, but you gotta buy X amount more of comic books.
Oh, damn.
So look at it like this. You'd be like, okay, I'm already struggling. I can't sell. I'm not going to be able to sell these extra 500 joints.
Right.
And I'm just throwing out a number.
Mm-hmm.
But I want these variants. But they weren't going to give you the variants unless you cop more. So that's why the big comic book stores, they got all that shit because they could afford to take the L. I can't sell these 1,000 comics. So that's how they do it. It's tier. So that's why some comic shops don't get variants at all. And then there's some that get all of them.
Yeah, I know like some of the ones around here, they just, like I said, they're smaller stores. So
yeah, they can't afford it.
That explains a lot now.
Yeah, they can't because they're not going to be able to sell. They're already struggling. They're not going to be able to sell an extra 500 comics.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know what I'm saying? They're already struggling. You know what I mean? And it's, you got to take that. You can take the L because you can sell the variants. You're going to sell the variants.
Right.
But it's not going to be enough to recoup the extra 500 to 1,000 comics you have to get.
Yeah. Well, either way, fat shout out to hip hop.
Yeah.
For once again, proving that we run the world.
True indeed. Yeah, I mean. So we're going to end it here. I am going to post this tonight. So you will get the link. Any shout outs, anything you want to go before we go?
Nah, man. Just go listen to Ghostface. Listen to more Ghostface.
True indeed.
And, yeah, man. Wu-Tang is for the children. Wu-Tang is forever.
True indeed. Yep. And yo, once again, Zemo, thank you for being on my neck about this, because the next one we're going to do is Death Certificate by Ice Cube.
Absolutely.
But thank you for staying on. You stayed on me for a long time on this, and I'm like, yo, we're going to do it. So, yeah.
Yeah, because these are, it's up to us, man. This is how we keep it alive, bro.
True indeed.
For sure.
Soon. So thanks again. Peace, brother.
Peace.
There you have it. Another episode of Where My Killer Tape At. If you want to book your mans for a workshop, whether it's capoeira, breaking, or you want me to talk about hip-hop culture, or being a black male feminist, hit me up on the website, omisbench.com, and bench is spelled B-E-N-C-H.com. If you just want to hit me up on the Twitters, you know where I'm at DanTresOmi, D-A-N-T-R-E-S-O-M-I. And the official Twitter for the show is Omi's Podcast. That's O-M-I-S Podcast. Right. You know, and if you want to continue the discussion, use the hashtag Where My Killer Tape At. Killer spelled K-I-L-L-A. Yo, do me a solid, man. Support the show. You can subscribe. You know what I mean? For 99 cents a month, man. You could do that. Or if you, you know, if you big money, you could do $5 a month. The link will be in the show notes. Or if you want to buy a present or you a coffee snob like myself, you could always buy a coffee mug, man. I'm trying to reach 100 mugs sold for the year 2021. I'm only at 4, so please help a brother out. Word.